This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So there, when you have a personal experience, obviously you can't dictate how it comes out. It would be nice to say, well, I had the camera ready. And I think it's a startle factor too, isn't it, Linda? You didn't expect to see something, so how do you prepare for it?
Exactly. And on none of these occasions, maybe it has something to do with it, did I have a camera with me? They were all just spur of the moments because I like to go walking, you know, in the area. I did. Sometimes I would have my dog with me, sometimes not. Although I also never had my dog with me when these things occurred. But the first one happened when I had just gotten up in the morning, got dressed, and thought, I'm going to take a quick walk before any of the morning traffic starts. And I ran up to where I usually walk and started off, and I got to a field where there were usually sandhill cranes nesting. And I stopped to see if I could see any cranes. And right where the crane nest usually was, I saw this fence post. And I thought, well, that's kind of crazy. Well, why did the farmer put a fence post there in the middle? You know, you're just kind of reacting instantly. I call it the instant head Rolodex, where you're shuffling desperately to figure out what you're seeing. And I glanced over at the actual fence. The fence posts were much smaller in diameter, and they were gray. And the one I was looking at was almost round, and it was a soft, kind of smoky black in color. And as soon as I turned back and looked at it again, it immediately slowly sank down into the grass. It was standing in what I would say was about 4 feet of grass, or hay, something like that. It was probably the year's first hay crop. And it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't all that far away from me, and it was morning, so I had perfect light to see it. And I couldn't see its face because it was backlit. You know, the sun was on the other side of it. But it just deliberately sank down into the grass, and I just immediately turned around, and I walked backwards a few feet and then turned around and went away as fast as I could because I had a pretty good idea what it was. The only possible thing that I've been able to compare it to would be a black bear, but if you're looking head-on at a bear, you almost always will see the ears. You'll see that triangular-shaped face. You know, it's just built really differently. They will drop down into the grass like that. I've seen it on YouTube a couple of times. But when they do, you can see the head. You can see that there are ears. You can see that it's a bear. This was not like that. It was like just this, you know, kind of stubby, rounded, black-furred thing.
Well, I mean, it should be fairly easy to tell the difference between something like a fence post and an animal, though. I mean, you thought it was a fence post, but...
Well, but the first thought that came to my mind, because I wasn't thinking about seeing an animal out there, you know, and I was seeing this black thing kind of standing up in the middle of the hay, and I looked at it, and I was thinking, fence post. And then right away I thought, no, there's no fence post there. When you have an incident like this, your mind is... You know, so many witnesses have told me this, and I never really understood it until I experienced it. It is exactly like having a super fast little card thing shuffling in your head, trying to immediately identify what it was. Because I was looking at a field that was surrounded by a fence, fence post was the first thing that came up, and then I just immediately realized, no, all this is happening very fast in your head. It's not even maybe in a recognizable order. It's just you think of all of these things. So, yeah, there was no question in my mind. As soon as I glanced over and looked to reassure myself that, yeah, the actual fence posts were shorter, smaller, and gray, that I had my closure that this was not a fence post.
Well, could you see a silhouette of some sort of creature then, as opposed to simply a cylindrical?
I could see that it had, a body that was wider than the head, and that the round object that I believe was its head was soft. You know, it had a soft edge. It wasn't a hard cut edge. That was all I could see, because that and like the upper torso was pretty much hidden. It was like it was crouching in this hay, was the feeling that I had. And once I turned back, and I think that probably it may have been out there and had probably a dozen cars drive by him. If you're not looking for things like I have kind of trained myself to do over the years, you probably wouldn't even notice it. But when I saw it and it knew that I saw it, that's when it sank back down into the hay. Then you know for sure it's an animate object. And it was very large. It was larger than a dog. It was larger than, you know, anything I could imagine being out there. It wasn't a deer. It was black. And
could it have been a person up on the hay?
Well, it wasn't.
Like the farmer or something?
It wasn't on the hay. It was a person. It would have probably gone up to about their waist or their chest, maybe, I mean, if they weren't crouching. Why would a person be standing out in the middle of a field with no tools or anything like that, looking at the road, you know, that early in the morning, dressed in a black something that covered its head and neck and body?
Sounds pretty strange, no matter how you try to figure it out, doesn't
it? Yeah, exactly. It does, you know, and you know, again, if I were making something up, I think I would have put something much more clear-cut in there. And not that I've ever been tempted to do that. I really don't have a great appreciation of hoaxers or people who embellish what they see. But you know, and I knew that it sounded sort of really off, and that's why, I mean, I never really published these. There were two more sightings that same year, and then they just stopped. And I never really published them, partly because, I mean, they just don't sound like your normal happenings. And the other two were weirder.
Definitely. And you are, I think, braver than I would be, because I've had something sort of similar to the tree branch case that you were just talking about happen with me. And I couldn't see what it was either, but I didn't stick around to find out. I got myself out of there as fast as I could, and I didn't go back there alone for several weeks. Because yeah. it was just too unnerving. I mean, to stand there and hit the tree again or knock on the wood again, I mean, for all we know, this could be their ritual for issuing a challenge or something.
Exactly.
You
yeah.
know, you've got this little stick and you're rapping yeah. on, and meanwhile they rip off a whole big giant tree branch. It's like,
exactly.
Okay, I think I've got the message now.
Yeah, it may have been stupid. It's just that I so wanted to see it. The other thing is that, in a way, I totally respect whatever these things are, but over the years, when I get reports, you know, it's not like I've ever had someone say, well, it ripped my arm off, or it was starting to kill me, or anything, you know, that a normal natural predator might do. I think if I'd had a lot of gory reports that I probably, or it was something like a cougar, which, by the way, while we lived in that house, my husband was stalked by a cougar 3 feet in front of him. So it's not like we had no other predatory animals around there.
That you know, would be unnerving too. That would yeah, be like,
I'm really lucky that I still have him. He's lucky that he's alive, because it was nighttime and it jumped from somewhere when he went in the backyard to get his bow. And we have, again, we had this huge backyard. It was like an acre with woods to the back and woods to the side, and you drop down off of him. And he went back there to get something from his boat way at the back of the yard, heard it scream, then he heard a thump as it landed right in front of him, and he knew what it was just by the sound of it. Could sort of see it, although it was nighttime, but he absolutely knew what it was, and it was making that kind of big cat sort of growling sound. He had to walk backwards all the way back to our house where the deck was, and step without tripping on himself at the deck, and all the time he was kicking his arms and legs and yelling at it. And I was in the house talking to someone on a radio show just like this, but I had ear pads on, and I never heard him at all. And so if this thing had decided to jump him, and cougars are, even if they weigh like half of what you do, they're very strong and they're very good at killing things. Very, very efficient at it. I came out of my office, finished with my program, and my husband, who grew up on a farm, he's a hunter, he's an outdoorsman, he was just sitting there, his face was drained white. We had two other neighbors that saw it on different ends of the street, and my husband saw it walk out of a cornfield the next morning as he drove to work. He went around the bend, and coming out of this cornfield was this unmistakable mountain lion.
Let's do our break here, folks, and we'll get back to the tale of the mountain lion and more. with Jean, Linda, and Randall. You're in
the
Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. To secure your spot, text JOIN to 76280. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. To join American Cannabis Summit, text JOIN to 76280. Attendance is free. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business, so make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, of course, your husband is lucky to be alive. Mm-hmm. But the other question I would have, I know nothing about creatures in the wild. And I don't get into the wild very much. Some people say I'm a hermit, but I get around. It's just like I don't go into the forest very much. I did as a kid. I didn't think then about the dangers there. Was he just lucky, or does it require a little bit more for one of those creatures to attack somebody?
I think that he was partly lucky. He was lucky that he knew what to do. You know, because if you turn and run, you're prey, and then you're done for. They're much faster than we are. And also, cougars have something called a lock-on response, which is once they've set themselves to leap at something, you can do almost anything to them, and they won't let go. But then after, and it lasts like 2 or 3 minutes, and after that is up, they will let go, and they have sort of a moment of decision where they decide if they're going to get hurt, because they don't want to get hurt. If they get hurt, they know they can't hunt, and then they're dead. But somehow he kept it at bay just long enough. When he got to the deck, it probably smelled like more humans, you know, and was a different sort of surface, and then the thing just ran down into the woods. But it's interesting because that was 2011 when that happened. That was the year that a particular cougar made it all the way from the Black Hills to Connecticut. You know, wherever there were reports, DNR agents were collecting evidence, and they identified it as the same animal that made it to Connecticut before it was hit by a car. So this was something on the move, and it could have been that very cougar. It could have been, there could have been others using that same trail, you know, but it was a for real thing that happened and that we never would have dreamed would happen in our backyard.
But, of course, then again, that we're not talking about anything particularly paranormal there.
Not at all.
How about situations? And, you know, I've heard a couple of stories where people have seen, however, abnormally large cats. One person I was talking to said they saw, for example, a very large jet black, the stereotypical jet black panther, but that this thing was about almost the size of a, like a small deer, like just way larger than you would expect. Have you run across any other instances like that yourself?
Yeah, this is something that I've been kind of delving into. I get into it for my next book that's coming out for some various reasons. But the thing is that supposedly there are no black mountain lions. Or melanistic is the scientific word. It just means they have extra coloration. There aren't supposed to be any, but there are black jaguars, which we know have a habitat that runs in Mexico, and they used to be all over the southern United States and farther north, too. And they, like the mountain lion, were all kind of pushed back by hunting and that sort of thing. But they are bigger than the mountain lions. There aren't supposed to be any roaming north up into the general main parts of the United States. But, you know, there's nobody really to keep them out necessarily. And if it's summertime and they happen to go, the climate would suit them to certain areas. And it may be that people are seeing these things because there are certain, there's one place in Wisconsin, it's maybe about 18 square miles, where people have reported about 150, maybe more, and that's not all the known sightings. These are just the reports of mountain lions, but they've seen not only tan ones, but black ones. And the black ones have somewhat larger heads. Their markings might be a little strange. You can almost imagine that maybe a jaguar got there someday or sometime, might have even been in the past, might have even been one that was released or escaped from a private zoo, something like that. It may be interbred with some mountain lions, and it looks a little different because when you interbreed two cat species, probably other species of things too, but when you interbreed two cat species, usually the offspring will often have a large head. Like if you breed a tiger and a lion, get the liger, you know, which is not just on Napoleon Dynamite. It's a real thing. I've seen one. It just has this huge lolling head. They don't interbreed perfectly, and the DNA doesn't always join right. And they're usually sterile too. But you could imagine that perhaps somehow nature had a way and these things made it, and there's this pocket. Because at least half of those 150 reported sightings are of black creatures, which, you know, there just can't be that many people mistaking them, you know, in this one small area. And a lot of times they're having, again, good looks in sunlight and fairly close. They seem to be pretty acclimated to the people around that area.
Right. The size of them, like, it's sort of like when we were talking about the giant bird, you know, okay, well, you know, it looks like a bird. It's got all the same physiological characteristics, but it's just too preposterously large to right. think that it's anything that was, you know, bred in a zoo or something like that. Or I guess we could theorize that it is some kind of natural mutation and that there's not very many of them, I suppose.
That could be. And I haven't really received personally any reports or seen any reports in this from this one area where the black large cats, whatever they were that much bigger than the tawny colored ones. You know, they were slightly bigger sometimes, but not where you would categorize them as something completely new. I do, however, and have done since I started this, received reports of canines that are way too big to be dogs. They'll be described as like the size of an Angus calf. Their shoulder will come right up to the bottom of the driver's side window. They often try and run cars off the road. They bash into them. They leave big dent marks in the cars and then run off mysteriously. And they're not really very much like the, quote, regular, unquote, dog men, you know, that you have running alongside the road. They don't, they can occasionally be seen going up on two legs for a bit, but most of the time they're on four legs when they're seen. There's another question. What are those? Are they some overbred dog or what, you know?
I can tell you, I saw one of those myself.
Really?
Clear as day. I was out in Banff National Park. I was driving. And I may have mentioned this on another show at one point, and I was going to ask you, how about these, you know, extra large wolves or canines? Because this was, it looked like a wolf, but it was just way too large. I mean, this thing was the size of a small pony. It was on a trail, like a game trail. I know the area. I know the river. I know the sizes. I know how far away it was because I know about how wide the river was. It was daytime. And I was just driving and I glanced across at the river and for several seconds I could see this thing on the other side of the river just following along this trail. And it was enormous.
Right. Your comparison to a small pony or any pony is one that I hear over and over and over again. And it's either to a pony or something like, a young bull calf are the two comparisons I hear the most. And I know of big dogs. There are some very, very large dogs. You know, you have Irish wolfhounds, you know, your Great Pyrenees. One of my sons has a Great Pyrenees dog. You know, it's this massive thing. And these are bigger than anybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this was larger than any other dog I've ever seen. And I've seen pretty much all of them as well. And there was no way that this thing was a normal size at all.
We'll talk about the size of dogs.
Sure.
Ours weighs 21 and a half pounds, but he makes a lot of noise. More to come with Linda, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
In an address from the White House, President Trump laid out his conditions for reopening the government.
I am here today to break the logjam and provide Congress with a path forward to end the government shutdown.
He said in an effort to break the logjam, he's offering Democrats
3 years of legislative relief for 700,000 DACA recipients brought here unlawfully by their parents at a young age.
That, plus a 3-year extension of status for those here from disaster-stricken countries, Democrats maintain they're willing to spend billions of dollars on technology that would prevent smuggling through checkpoints, and they want a permanent solution for the DACA program. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell calls the proposal a fair compromise. You're listening to USA Radio News.
What's on your bucket list? Running a marathon, hiking to the top of a mountain, or maybe surfing? What if I told you you can accomplish all of it at any age? This is Wayne Allen Root, and I'd like to introduce you to somebody that's changed my life, made me feel years younger, maybe saved my life, my Cenogenics physician, Dr. Bob Letta.
Thanks for the introduction, Wayne. At Cenogenics, we help people look and feel many years younger. We've been in business since 1997. We have locations across the United States, and we've treated over 35,000 patients worldwide. Our age management medicine is proven to work. On the Cenogenics program, you will have your own doctor, exercise counselor, and nutritionist all working together to fine-tune plans especially for you.
Thank you, Dr. Letta. I'm 57 and I feel like I'm 30 again. I feel the best of my life. I have the most energy of my life. Are you ready to start feeling the best of your life? Defy your age with Cenogenics. Call now for your free consultation at 888-YOUNGER. That's toll-free 888-YOUNGER. Or go to Cenogenics.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Large dogs. You know, large dogs are usually calmer than a tiny little dogs like Teddy Bear here. He's a nervous little furry guy.
Well, yeah. This one that I saw, it was perfectly proportioned, too. It was a beautiful creature. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't misshapen in any way. And at one point, you know, when I first saw it, it was coming toward me. And it glanced up and looked across the road. And it was like there was an intelligence there that was really incredible. And yep. Wolves are pretty smart anyway.
No, I've heard it described that same way. People will say it almost had a majesty. It was intelligent looking, more intelligent than you would expect an animal. It was just beautiful until it started chasing the car and banging into it. But you would get that description. And also that they're put together a little bit differently. Oftentimes they would have sort of a ruff around the back of their neck. The hind legs were a little bit shorter than the front legs many times. That's something else that I would hear often. And they could vary in color. They weren't, you know, just one color like you would expect a dog breed to be. So now there are, in legend, you know, up in, I think it's the Owanis Valley up there in Canada, there was this place nicknamed Headless Valley where these large dogs that were said to belong to prehistory roamed and were said to bite people's heads off as they lay sleeping in their sleeping bags at night.
Oh, now I want to go camping.
Yeah. So, you know, that kind of thing would scare me. But there's nothing really to connect one to the other or to say that, because so many of these are reported from all around the country in different areas. You know, it was not just up in this one valley in Canada. People will also think maybe they're throwbacks to prehistoric dogs. They'll use the term dire wolf, but really dire wolves were not all that much bigger than normal dogs today. And these things are larger than the dire wolves and don't really compare in the way they look. And we have tons of dire wolves to study, you know, thanks to the tar pit. So, you know, in California, I can't remember how many thousand there were in there, but it was a lot, you know, so we know pretty well what a dire wolf looks like. there's another thing called the Shunka Warak Inn, which means head carrying, or not head, but carrying off dog, because they would supposedly carry off people's and animals' heads. So you have these models from kind of prehistory, modern legend, that sort of thing, and you can see possible connections, but you can't, there's just no way to really tie them together.
So if we're going to compare some of these experiences then, say, to the UFO phenomena, in ufology, they have an expression called high strangeness. And that's what we're getting into here when we're talking about cryptids. So what other facets are there that we might draw a comparison to? Like, for example, have you had any reports of shape-shifting or invisibility?
Yes. Yeah, those have been reported from the beginning, but not nearly as often as the other types. You know, the normal ones, people are seeing them run across the road in front of the car or running alongside the road or come upon them in the woods while they're drinking or eating or carrying part of a deer around, that sort of thing. But the other sorts of reports, which are really in the minority, are ones that either seem to have bullets go through them, like they're sort of insubstantial, not quite of an earthly solidity, or they are actually something that seems more human, except for the head, like it'll be a wolf head on a somewhat human-like body. Occasionally, only very occasionally, with clothing. That's pretty much the real exception rather than the rule, is to see something, you know, like if you get your typical little werewolf statue at the dime store, it'll most of the time they have on a checkered shirt and some torn blue jeans. You know, that's not how these things are usually perceived by witnesses. And often, the more human they are, the more likely, statistically, according to the things that I've gotten, the more likely they are to have been seen somewhere near a native reserve area, you know, where you have tribal people who have these customs that there are people who can learn or use different means to either project an animal appearance or form one around themselves, or in some cases people believe, and I don't really, you know, say I believe or don't believe with these things because I just don't have any way to experiment with them, that they can turn bodily into one. Those really end up in a different place. They're, to me, those are a very different sort of thing than the normal dogman type of thing that we see, you know, and I thought right away from the beginning that there may be different things that can somehow form the appearance of dogs or wolves, and they really are very different things. There's another type that seem to be pure phantom that will show up in people's bedrooms, and they're kind of like the old hooded characters from medieval times and before that, where there's a name for them, I can't think of what they're called, but they would have like monk's hoods on them, and they would appear in people's bedrooms, or like
the djinn.
Kind of like that, but djinn are not so necessarily in. These are more what I call bedroom invaders. A lot of times, the ones that have been reported to me are like very tall, very statuesque looking. What the people will use the word Anubis again, the Egyptian god of the dead, because they'll have very short black fur. They'll seem very intelligent, tall, very tall, pointed ears on top of the head, and they show up in the bedroom. They generally look around as if they're examining the place. They may crawl up to the bed. They don't generally really jump on the person or hurt them or anything, but they're not always in the bedroom at night. I had one that was reported in a house, standing right in sunlight in the morning, after someone got up, it was still out there. And this could have some ties to sleep incidents where, for some reason, I'm blanking out on the exact term for that. But when you're just waking up or you're going to sleep, you're sort of in this gray area where, it's supposedly more likely that you might see these sorts of figures. That's a real thing that is studied by psychologists and that sort of thing. But again, something really, really different than these very solid things that you see carrying deer and eating things and doing other physical things that animals would do.
That's very interesting. I know someone who has a condition that she called night terrors, where she would wake up and see something that was projected out of her subconscious right there and for several minutes until it would just dissolve away and go away until she got used to how her mind was working with her sleep-wake cycle.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of also reminiscent of something called a tulpa, or again, this would be a projection of human energy that would take a certain form and shape. And people in some cultures are trained to deal with, to produce these things and deal with them. And in some cases, they can sort of get loose from the person and go out and wreak havoc and can be seen by other people. That's another sort of these forms. And I personally would rather deal with the solid form ones that are running alongside the road or ripping branches off trees or whatever. I don't like to go into any deep studies of these other types of things. You know, I've had people send me little charts on how to turn into a werewolf, and I'm like, nope, nope, don't want to know that, whatever it is, whether it's true or not. That goes in the circular file. I have my walls where I stop, you know. There are different things that apparently can assume forms by some means that we don't all understand.
Right. Some of these experiences, these sleep-wake ones, they go a little bit beyond, say, your simple hypnagogia, where you just sort of, you kind of, for a moment or two, maybe when you wake up, might have an experience, but some of these can last longer than that. And it almost makes a person wonder, well, are they really seeing something that is there or not?
And it's a good question. I like to think that somehow we have filters, but we know that there are things that can be seen that we can't see. I mean, anybody who has a cat and, you know, hears unusual noises, sometimes they'll see the cat, or it just actually happened with one of my little dogs, that they're sitting and staring at something that they can see. And every once in a while, they'll look over. I remember she'd look over at me like, don't you see this? And then she'd look back and bark again. And she'd look at me and look back and bark again. We know that there are things out of our optical range, things that there are colors that are beyond our ability to see the colors, and just other things that are there but not visible to us.
We're going to break now and have the final segment with Linda, Jean, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
You may need this herbal tea for relief right away, so write this down, DrMillersClinic.com. If you take meds, then suffer stomach distress, constipation, indigestion, acid reflux, and bloating, and nothing else helps, get Dr. Miller's Holy Tea or Super Holy Tea, a cleansing, detoxifying herbal tea now available at great rates direct from Dr. Miller's office. Call or click 888-660-7039 or DrMillersClinic.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Some of the best sounds you'll ever hear are generic, safe, effective, even money-saving, just like FDA-approved generic drugs. Even if they don't come in the exact same color or shape as their brand name equivalents, they have the same key ingredients and go through a rigorous review process. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist today and visit fda.gov/generic drugs. Generics are safe, effective, and can save you money. You'll like the sound of that.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
Here we go. Final segment. Linda Godfrey telling us about some really, really strange stories.
So I just think this whole segment is going by very, very quickly. And before we run out of time, I would like to cover any other sort of high strangeness aspects that you can think of. And maybe while we're at it, we should start with, can you tell us a bit about the story where you were saying someone was shooting at a creature and it seemed like the bullets were going right through them or through whatever it was?
Yeah, there's more than one story like that, and other researchers have uncovered them too. It's not just something that I've found. One that always has struck me as really pretty spooky and amazing was a gentleman who was fishing near, it was in Alabama, and he was doing kind of a flat bottom boat sort of fishing where he was trying to get some type of large fish that was near the shores. And while he was doing this, his dog started barking. He had his dog in the boat with him. And he looked over at the shore, and there was this wolf-headed, wolf-like creature standing on its hind legs staring at them. And the dog was barking harder and seemed to upset the creature. And it started coming in, wading into the water, coming like it was going to get his dog. And so he had a semi-automatic, and he pumped some rounds into it, and absolutely nothing happened. The thing, he knew that it was hit, but it just turned around and walked back into the woods, you know, as the dog kept barking in its supposed victory at turning the creature around. And when he went back, tied the boat up and went back, there was really nothing to indicate where it went or anything. And I've heard just the same type of story can be told about Bigfoot, too, and you can find that fairly easily in all the many annals of Bigfoot stories that there are out there.
How about cases where people have perhaps given chase to these creatures, and where do the creatures go, or how do these end? I mean, my older brother and his wife had an experience with something really bizarre. And they let the dog out, and the dog went chasing after it. And they could follow the footprints in the snow down into this shallow ravine. And then all of a sudden, the footprints just stopped, and the dog was, where did the thing go? And it was just gone. It just vanished.
Yeah, and I've actually seen this myself. There's a very active place here in Walworth County. It's part of a small hay farm, and there was an incident, and I've got the photos of it too, where you can see these footprints are in the middle of a field. It's like something lowered something on a ladder from a helicopter, except, you know, it's an animal walking on hind legs. They start in the middle of the field, and then they walk to the edge of the woods, and then they just go away. And this has been reported by many people with different types of creatures, again and again. And so we are left to sit here and just kind of scratch our heads and say, well, was that just a momentary portal that it walked into? Was it able, did something flying pick it up? I mean, you know, there, you just grasp for all these answers that none of which will seem likely to have happened, but this happens again and again, especially in areas where it's not just UFOs, but areas of high strangeness in every way. And so often, you know, as the late great John Keel observed, we have what he called window areas, where there's one strange thing coming, where something leaves the window open, say, from the, speaking metaphorically, from the next realm or the portal or whatever it possibly could be. Other things come through. So, you know, you get not only the, you know, the Bigfoot and the dog-like animals, the big birds, the things that look like lizards, sort of, the Batman, you name it. They're all coming, they all seem to sort of cluster in these areas where you can see weird things sort of drawn together.
Yeah, I have kind of a devil's advocate question here, but we have all these portal areas where, or areas of frequent activity, monsters, UFOs, whatever. And I sometimes wonder, maybe it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, like a UFO flap. As more and more events occur, more people go out to look for things. And therefore, because they're paying more attention, they have more reports.
Right. I think that's entirely possible. You know, and I see it borne out in looking at the months when these things are seen. And you notice that they fall off during the times of the year when very few people are out in the woods or looking, you know, probably have the lowest number of reports in, say, late December through February. And is that because there are fewer creatures or because people are staying in by their fireplace? You know, there's always that. And even to the distribution of the numbers of these things, are there really fewer of them out in, say, you know, one of the western states where the populations are very low? Or is it just that the populations are very low and there aren't as many people to see and report them?
Though that's interesting in and of itself. Now, have there ever been any urban reports?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Tell us about one?
Well, there was one from a couple of years ago that happened right in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Milwaukee has a river, you know, and there's a river walk that goes along it. Some very nice parks. And a young woman was walking her dog and encountered one of the large quad, I call them quads because they're in four legs, those large canine type of things that we were talking about before, you know, and she felt that it saw her and sort of engaged and then just quickly took off. And she was left standing there amazed that she had seen it.
Has there ever been a Bigfoot sighting in an urban area?
You know, probably, but I don't think so much. Maybe in the outskirts, people or Bigfoot's checking garbage cans, that sort of thing, but not like in the city that I've heard of. And I could be wrong. There could be, you know, other reports. I don't claim to have all the reports in the world by any means, and I wouldn't want to. I couldn't handle them.
Well, but, I've never heard of one, but myself.
I have not heard of one being right in town, but I have heard of people seeing, you know, and really it's a lot easier. If you look like just a German Shepherd when you're on all fours, you can walk around like that just about anywhere and people will go, oh, there's a German Shepherd or something like that. But when you stand 8 feet tall and look like a humanoid with big hands and the big regular feet, you know, and you look human, it's much harder to get around in any kind of a city type of place.
No doubt, but some of these strange canids are also pretty large, and if we're getting the occasional sighting in and around the city, that kind of reminds me of the way that there are wild or feral dogs that do roam in the city or near the city. I live in a place here in Calgary that is adjacent to one of the First Nations, and we get coyotes and other wildlife that come into our neighborhood from time to time. And, well, that kind of brings up another question, too. The canids, you know, dogs in general, is especially like wolves, well, that all sounds really fascinating. And our time has gone by all too fast. Maybe you can tell us a little bit more about your book and any speaking engagements that you've got before we go.
Well, I have a new book coming out in June or July called I Know What I Saw, and it engages a lot of the things that we've talked about today, and is going to have also a film that goes along with it, which is kind of a first for me that's being worked on. So that'll be fun. Just go to lindagodfrey.com, and you'll see announcements there. And if you just join or like, and you'll get all the announcements.
You can find us on Twitter. Look for the Paracast on Twitter. Look for, on Facebook, too, Paracast Fan Clubs. And look for Paracast Plus. This is the way that you can hear our other radio show after the Paracast, where we have special interviews, wrap-up shows. You never know what to expect. We also give you a version of this show with somewhat better quality audio, higher bit rate, and no network ads. Prices start at just $1.49 a week, $4.99 a month. We have 5-year and lifetime subscriptions. And if you go for the full Monty here, you get free stuff. Free stuff with the long-term subscriptions. For more information, go to plus.theparacast.com. Plus.theparacast.com. When it comes to Linda Godfrey, where's the time gone? We had a lot of fun. Thank you for joining us this week on the Paracast.
Thanks so much for having me.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Classic science fiction at its best. Available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go. Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.